to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, Jabroniacs. We are back with another week of hot wrestling action. Before we get into it, and I introduce my tremendous guests, some of the top guests. These guys are tremendous. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way. You know what I'm going to say. Give us 5 stars. Rate and subscribe on iTunes. And, hey, I'm going to give a formal introduction to our newest feature. Now, we had a soft release on this feature on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. If you're not following that, join up. We got a hot conversations going literally around the clock. Is that a 24/7 discussions of wrestling? It'd be 3 in the morning. Bing, your phone goes bing, and it goes, "Do you think they're wasting Bray?" Someone's got to get that out. But we're going to have a new hotline, the Comedians of Wrestling official hotline, where you can post after Raw and SmackDown. You get your opinions out in audio form, and we will have cow cashing. Okay, now how does that work? You're wondering, how does that work, Jake? Say, how does that work?
How does that work?
How it works is when I bring up a topic on the show, we will have audience cash-ins. So of your voicemail, if you were you gave an opinion about Bray Wyatt, you were like, "I gotta say something about Bray Wyatt." I'll bring up Bray Wyatt. Music will play. Your opinion will play instead of mine. You will cash in, steal my moment. It's like right now, you and me, we're Brock Lesnar.
I'm Roman Reigns.
Right? Yeah, right. We're Roman Reigns. We're having a great match, tremendous match up there.
People are loving me.
People are love for the first. That was maybe the first heat, actual good face heat he's getting. All of a sudden, Alex Newman cashes in.
Roman sucks.
Yeah, that's right. We had a match. That's his best.
That's right.
Seth Rollins impression.
Roman sucks.
I think Ambrose did like a Rollins impression or something. Miz did a Rollins impression on Raw. Huh. Yeah, he was like, "I'm Seth freaking Rollins." And it was funny. I didn't understand how it mapped, but it was funny. So call in. The number. Hey, the number is 316-316. That's right. The number obviously starts with 316. No, here's the full number. 316-530-2429. 316-530-2429. Do you have to repeat it when it's a podcast? Because you could just rewind.
No one's going to rewind. Yeah, you better say it again.
No one wants to use that feature.
If you missed it, hit the 15-second back button.
It's going to go 15, and then you're going to get back into that tremendous bit we just did.
That's right. It was fantastic. I don't know if I could talk because I haven't been introduced yet.
No, you can. You can. All right, let's introduce my guests, and let's get into all the wrestling action. To my left, we got Mr. Jake Regal, returning guest.
Hello. How's it going?
Big wrestling mark, also big MMA mark.
That's right, 100%.
Yeah.
I watch more MMA than wrestling, and I watch a lot of wrestling.
Yeah. And on third mic, we got the man, Alex Newman, back in biz.
How about it?
All right. How about it? New catchphrase.
Look out for it.
Yeah. I forgot to call myself Donnie Kayfabe, which is one of my new nicknames I'm really trying to hammer home. All right. So, Payback. We're coming off Payback.
Woo.
I'm kind of, like I said last week, I'm loving wrestling right now and the podcast right now because we're in that post WrestleMania lull where I don't feel pressure to be so into it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I could casually watch it. But then when cool stuff happens, it's like, it's happening now in the lull time. But I think a lot of really cool things are happening. So Payback, House of Horrors match. Let's get into it.
I still can't decide if I loved it or hated it.
Wow.
I really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let your freak flag fly. Did you like it? Have some nuts.
Well, no. What I loved about it is that it was very committed to what it was. Like, they immediately had a shirtless Randy Orton in a limousine in the middle of the night at 6 o'clock in the afternoon in the West Coast.
And I immediately tweeted out, "Randy Orton looks so hot." He looked so hot. I mean, I'm a straight dude, but I mean, when a dude like that jacked of a dude is just shirtless wearing his skinny jeans.
Well, why did he think to put jeans on? Like, no shirt, but the jeans. Like, don't look like an idiot.
It was great. Yeah.
I'm not a much of a TNA guy, but people said that's what like Matt Hardy was doing in TNA, basically.
Well, Final Deletion is been kind of the model here for like these out of the ring segments. It's happened before. They did it with New Day and Bray the other time. Mm. But yeah, well, Alex, what do you think about it?
About the House of Horrors? I mean, I'm kind of the same boat. Like, I feel like out of the context of wrestling, I thought it was pretty cool. Like, I thought it was like, you know, like a kind of interesting way to do it. But it, like, the cameramen were in the shots. And
the
like,
cinematography was the worst part.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. So that, you guys are mirroring kind of what I feel. My thing with the House of Horrors, when I was watching it, I loved it. I thought it was so fucking awesome. Because again, we're in that post-WrestleMania time where it's like, all right, try to get me into it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like a little like sad because we're so far away from the next WrestleMania. And SummerSlam never does it for me like WrestleMania, you know? Mm. Especially when it's in like Brooklyn.
Right.
Because it's like... Yeah, I don't like it in Brooklyn, because I know Brooklyn. I, like, grew up there, and, like, not in Brooklyn, but, you know, like, going to Barclay, it's like, big deal. That doesn't feel like a SummerSlam in Barclay.
Right. You grew up in Barclay.
If it's an MSG.
The five-year-old venue.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I grew up in Barclay. Yeah. I have so many fond memories in Barclay. Yeah. Although the Islanders do play in Barclay, which
they
is,
do.
Like, growing
up,
I grew up in Long Island. Yeah. Nassau Coliseum is where I saw my first WWE event.
I spent a couple years in Valley Stream.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had that.
Born in Park Slope, lived in Valley Stream, moved to LA.
Tremendous. 91, yeah. I saw Warrior versus Taker.
Ooh. Whoa.
Yeah.
Who won?
Taker won and zipped Ultimate Warrior into a body bag.
That's actually the same, not that match, but that the idea that like when he would beat people and put them into a body bag.
Yeah.
I very clearly remember that being like, the first like match I've ever seen was like an Undertaker versus some jobber, and as soon as you put him in that body bag, I was like, "Fuck yeah!"
I was like hysterical crying. I was the biggest Ultimate Warrior fan.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, I was just like, "That guy's cool." Like I didn't. Yeah. And my other favorite it was like I love the Bushwhackers.
Yeah, sure.
I was obsessed with the Bushwhackers. They had a battle royale during that because for a long time I was trying to figure out what did I see. So I had these pictures in my childhood bedroom. I have an album. And it's from a disposable camera at the event. And it's, you know, all those pictures are like date stamped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I had it, and it has a battle royal in it, you know? So for the longest time, I was like, I must have been at a Royal Rumble.
Oh, right.
You know, before the internet was like what it is, where it was like, we had internet at this time, but like didn't have every piece of information ever on there.
Yeah.
So like randomly one day I was like, what, did I see a Royal Rumble? Was it ever in Nassau Coliseum? I was like, no. It's just a house show that had a Royal Rumble in it. I didn't even know that existed. Yeah. But it was cool because you can look up the show. Like, I found the exact show I was at.
Oh, yeah. These databases for wrestling are intense.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's called Wikipedia.
They don't have house show info on Wikipedia.
They got all the house. I think I saw it on Wikipedia. So here's House of Horrors. Here's my thing. It kind of mirrors, like, the whole deal with Bray to begin with, but... The idea, I think, is so good.
Yeah.
And the execution is so half-assed.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of my big problems with WWE in general, is they always feel like, for some reason, they feel this need to do the show, like, flying by the seat of their pants. Is that the expression?
Yeah.
What is that expression about?
Flying by the seat of their pants. Never thought about
the seat
it.
Of his
I guess, like, on the... Like you're not even in the chair. Like you're like kind of like off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm not a pilot. I don't know what that
is. I've known it for a long time, and then Hamilton really reinforced it for me. But I'm a real into the Skylar sisters. But I think there should be a tag team. There should be a female tag team, the Skylar sisters. That's for a real cross. There's a Venn diagram of people.
I am not in it.
Cool. Nope. Love that. Anyway, it just feels like the idea is so good, but the execution is like, all right, let's this day. Like, it feels like that day they decided to figure out what it is.
Right.
Got a house. We're like, let's shoot it. As opposed to the idea that's like, we have this House of Horror match. Instead of Randy Orton just being, what is it? Let's establish what it is. Let's have Bray Wyatt say, like, look, I'm sick of being screwed in WWE. If people want to fight me, they got to do it on my terms, on my turf, which is kind of what he does.
Right.
He did that for the other one, but then establish it like you got to come here, and then when you fight here, it's like more cinematic. It's not just like a brawl, I throw a fridge on you, and then I got to go back to the ring. Like, tie him up in the basement.
Yeah.
Talk to him. Like, feed him something. Like, I don't know. Have a plan. Like, pretend you're going to saw his arm off. Or, I don't know. Just go further.
I was hoping that, like, it was going to be, like, Randy would, like, walk into a room and see, like, his, like, friggin', like, daughter there or something. Yeah. Like, something fucked up that's going to,
that's
like,
my point, is that...
Yeah.
Like, the baby heads didn't do it for me.
Right. The baby heads were, like, kind of half-assed. It just felt like a fight in the house. Now, keep in mind, I did love it. Like, I did love when he's, like, throwing himself through some drywall. I love that shit. But, like, yeah, it's like that. Remember when Roman Reigns, he was, like, stalking Roman Reigns' daughter?
Right.
But his daughter was, like, never on the show. You know, they never, like, went that far. It was just like, I'm going to do that. That's the thing with Bray. It's all start and stop. It's all, like, they can't fully commit to, like, just doing it. Have him, like, tie Randy up in a basement, and then, like, he has a live feed on him, and Randy's not on the show. You just see him being, like, tortured for a while, and they can't find him. Just go, I'm just
like
saying,
Heidenreich,
go for it.
Like Heidenreich and Michael Cole?
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Well, yeah. All right, whatever. It was failed the first time. But I don't know. I just think that, like, Bray, if it's going to be just Bray... There's something that's, like, silly when it's like, oh, house horror means I just fight you in a house.
In a scary house.
Right.
Yeah.
But I still follow, like, generally the rules of wrestling. And I go, driver, take me to the ring. Like, he's very concerned with getting back to the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, what do you mean that scary a house? Like, right. There was just stuff scrawled on the fridge. I was just picturing how much time Bray spent, like, writing stuff all over the home to scare Randy.
The house is for sale.
Yeah.
For $36,000 or something like that.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. They like trashed it. They just probably bought that abandoned house, right? And then just trashed it and then just put it back on the market.
Yeah.
Or they rented it. I don't know. You probably have to buy it to do that to it.
The value's through the roof now, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like an artifact.
I've seen on TV.
The other thing was that, like, they didn't, it's like, I don't know, I'll forgive the it being light out and not light out thing. I mean, people were jumping on that because it was like in California and it was. We were in California. Yeah. It was light outside. Yeah, it was pitch black in these videos. I mean, I'll forgive that. I don't really care about that, even though it's a big mistake.
Right.
But, like, yeah, just, I don't know what, it's like, what is Bray Wyatt?
Well, I thought his whole deal was that he was, like, a Cajun thing. Like, he's a Max Cady style, like, New Orleans, creepy. Like, not necessarily paranormal. It wasn't until he had that he was feuding with Dean Ambrose and he had that little boy with the weird robot voice or whatever. That's where I feel like they sort of jumped the shark on Bray Wyatt a little bit.
Well, I think Bray Wyatt, I heard him describe his character as, like, I'm, like, when you see, like, a horror film, I'm the bad guy. That's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So I feel like he maybe started as, like, a Cajun thing.
Right.
Like, he thinks himself, he's like, I'm Freddy Krueger.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's
cool.
Cool.
That's cool.
I think that's super cool, and I think that works. Like, he's like, I think he said, like, you know, the girl from The Ring when she, like, climbs out of the TV? He's like, that's what I want to be. I want you to feel like, and he does that perfectly.
Right.
He does.
But then when it comes down to it, the execution, it's like, also, think about the way the match was booked. Like, Randy Orton came back.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
and, like, it was so
inexplicably.
Obvious.
Well, yes, it was very obvious it was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Why not make that? I feel like it's just, that's not hard to make to make a little better.
Right. I sort of thought that the limo driver would be Randy Orton.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah. That feels like classic Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, have it go. I know it sounds a little fucked up, but it's like, if you're going to do it, fully commit. The whole thing feels a little half-assed, and it really hurts Bray. It makes everything he says feel empty. Which sucks for a guy who's saying things that are nonsensical half the time.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before, but I swear that, like, there must be some grudge that the McMahons hold against the Rotundas for, like, not pushing him to the moon.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be some backstage
thing. I mean, they had a grudge
against
the Rhodes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a couple of audits.
Right.
Yeah.
From Erwin R. Scheister. you know,
the worst last name on that guy.
Scheister. Yeah. That is some chewy shit. A little bit. All right, cool. Let's move on. So, Alexa Bliss, the champion of Raw. How do we feel besides happy?
Well, I mean, you know how I feel. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on board. So, not enough conflict,
I guess. Yeah, it seems like everyone is on board that Alexa Bliss is, like, the top female.
Yeah.
She has
charisma, and she's not a bad wrestler. Like,
And it's kind of this interesting thing that I feel like is happening where it's, like, Charlotte's pulled out of the equation because she's just considered basically like a male wrestler. Like, I don't know. She's like a top talent.
Right.
We're talking about the other. We're not like, if you go like, who's better, Alexa or Charlotte? I'm like, yeah, well, Charlotte's a lot better.
Right.
But we're just talking about like from the pool of them. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we know Charlotte's good, but she doesn't really have a good adversary. Like, it's like, to me, Sasha Banks is kind of has been a dud.
I think she just needs to go heel. Like, yeah, her persona is still a heel character. She just isn't playing it for heel heat, so it's confusing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she's still, but like, also, me first and, like, glitter glamour, but, or whatever it is.
Again, her gimmick feels a little half-assed, right? Like, she a couple times got on the mic and was, like, talking about Jay-Z and stuff, and I was like, oh, is that your gimmick? You know?
I know Jay-Z.
I'm related to Snoop. It's my gimmick.
Yeah, but it's like, why not have some, like, vignettes of her, like, I don't know, doing something that's, like, I'm not saying we need to, like, reinforce that stereotype that it's like, all right, she's the black wrestler, she has to do that. I'm not saying that, but her thing is like, yo, I'm the boss. How often does she act like, show me she's the boss?
In NXT, she was so good at that.
I agree.
It's clearly something that went wrong in the main company.
I'm not saying she's a dud, like, oh, Sasha's dud. I'm saying that, like, dud, when I say dud,
the
I mean...
the way she's been presented.
The come up.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the NXT jump. Like, I love Sasha. In-wing ability's been great, but, like, Alexa Bliss is, again, pulling what I call the reverse NXT, which is it's a term that I've made for the Drifter, who I think is going to get over big.
Yeah,
I think he's going to get over big, but he's a guy who is a complete jobber in NXT.
Yeah.
I think Alexa was a jobber in NXT, came up, it's the reverse NXT.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So, Alexa, how'd you guys, her segment?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the segment was good. I thought the 8-woman tag match that happened after that was, like, probably one of the best 8-woman tag matches I've seen. Like, those things are usually a fucking shit show. But it was great. It was really exciting, and I just love when they beat the shit out of each other. Like,
you know. Did you like the Alexa Bailey match, Payback?
I'm trying to formulate an opinion about it. It was fine. It was fine. Yeah.
I feel like that about all. I don't remember anything that happened at Payback except for House of Horrors and Strowman Roman.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember a second of the Rollins Samoa Joe match.
Yeah. Well,
no,
it was so disposable.
Yeah.
And I think, not to jump too far ahead, but I think, like, Raw and SmackDown, Raw especially, showed that, like, they really weren't thinking about Payback.
Because they had two, like, interpromotional matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, so then this Raw episode set up way more in, like, a much cooler way than Payback did, like, at all. So they were like, let's just get through this, and then we'll have Raw be the important thing.
Well, the post-WrestleMania pay-per-view has historically been to, like, burn off the feuds that didn't quite end at Mania.
Right.
But now they have this other goal of setting up these new rosters, and they just couldn't decide which one they wanted to do, it felt like.
Totally. Let's just rattle through Payback, because it's like, whatever. But everyone seems excited about Alexa. Oh, one thing I'll say, because this seems to be our niche on the podcast here. Alexa's in-ring gear looked dope at Payback.
Yeah.
Her Iron Man, I thought the Iron Man gear looked awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The diamond in her chest was like bedazzled. It was like sparkling. And someone on the thread pointed out that like the neons look bad in her, and she went back to the neons on Monday, and I was like, you're right. She needs more neutral colors. She does. Come on.
I love
like,
the Bailey sartorial.
Looks like, Bailey, like, she looks bad. Bailey's in-ring gear is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it because it fits her gimmick
it's
perfectly.
It's supposed to be loud, but yeah.
But it's also supposed to be, like, nonsensical and, like...
Right.
Like a kid. Fun. Like a kid made it.
Yeah, exactly.
A kid designed it.
Mm-hmm. Like a kid made a crayon, basically. Yeah.
Right. A kid draws you something and you put it up on the fridge.
Yeah.
That's what her costume is.
Yeah.
That's what her hairdo is. A kid just worked on your hair. Right? And then you go, I love it.
What would you prefer Bailey be in? Just like the solid colors, not some patchwork clown shit?
I don't know. I don't know what to do with Bailey.
Do you think she got pushed too early?
Well, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But I did like that. Like they push her too early, the best thing to do is just follow through. I did like she won a Mania. Yeah. It was like, let's go through. But then at the same time, when she dropped the belt after Mania, I was like, it had the same feeling of like Jericho losing the U.S. title. I was like, you didn't really give it to them, right?
Yeah.
It was like, all right, we'll do that because it's kind of it'll make, she's super face. The kids love her. You know, the thing with Bayley, look, my number one stat in professional wrestling is mic work. Mm. It's the number one stat for me. I think a lot of people feel differently, but I'm like, if you can't work the sticks at all, then you're probably not going to be a good professional wrestler.
Yeah.
If you can't wrestle and you're amazing on the microphone, you could probably be a top pro wrestler to me. Yeah.
Well, it taps into that X factor of like just that other thing that you have to have.
Right.
I think it stems, like part of that is how well you can communicate on the mic.
Right. Alexa Bliss couldn't beat up any of these girls.
No.
She's so small.
Like, Bayley would beat the shit out of her. She's so small. Like, she's so much smaller than them. Do you notice she's just dropping DDT at her, as her finisher?
That was awesome.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I've always loved the DDT.
It's such a great
idea.
It's
a finisher, and it should be a finisher. I feel the same way about the super kick. Those are finishers.
I didn't know we had Stone Cold on the podcast.
I know. Yeah. I feel that way.
That's his big thing. The DDT does not hurt enough.
I agree. It's the most violent-looking move, almost without exception.
Yeah. Bobby Roode's DDT is great.
Yeah.
I think that's a cool, his I don't know, the glorious DDT is my guess of what it's called.
Yeah. It's probably right.
This is so small and dumb, but I like when he picks him up and, like, smacks him on the back.
Yeah. That's what he does. Edge used to do it.
Yeah.
That used to be Edge's finisher.
DDT.
The Impaler DDT. And then he switched to Spear.
Right.
Spears are overused.
Yeah.
Somehow, I really like Roman Spear. Is that not the worst.
It's definitely not the worst.
Oh, Roman Spear. I just got that. Is that supposed to be a thing?
No, I didn't. I never put that together either. No,
Roman Superman punch. It all makes sense.
Yeah. Oh,
Lance
Longinus. Yeah. Vest? No, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense. I was trying to find maybe, do they wear vests in Rome? I'm sure they did.
Probably.
Yeah. So. I don't know. Alexa Bliss, she's just doing great. I thought that on Raw, it was like not her best work on the mic. Like she had this big segment, and I love they opened it with her. The crowd loves her. She's getting over. Alexa being over is part of the magic of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Like it's amazing. I thought she was such a jabroni for so long.
Yeah.
I remember when she got drafted, I was like, Alexa? They're going to bring her up?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't see that trajectory, though? Like, when she left the fuck they're called? The Dubstep Cowboys.
Right.
Yeah. Blake and Jackson or whatever.
Yeah. if you look back over that year, because it's only been a year, like, there is, like, a marked, you can see her progress.
It's not that I didn't see her progress. I've been into what she's doing for a while, but it's just like, I think the amazing the development that happens in front of your face is just incredible, and vice versa. There's some people who like kind of like let me down. Like, I can't believe how not into Sasha Banks I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't believe how not into Dean Ambrose I am. Although I'm kind of digging what he's doing right now, which we'll get into. But like Sasha Banks, when she's coming out, I was like, "Yo, the boss." Her music hits. I don't even get excited. Like and then Alexa Bliss. I was like, what is her gimmick? For so long, I was like, well, you know.
I'm sure we'll get to this, but I'm on board with Jinder, too.
I'm on board with Jinder also. Yeah. I love Jinder Mahal. Yeah. He's amazing. We will get. All right, let's go through this problem. So, Braun Roman, Strowman Roman. I mean, I thought this was great.
Yeah, it was exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once Roman came out, I was like, if Roman comes out injured, then this will be good.
Yeah.
If he comes out full strength, then we're in trouble here.
Yeah, right.
But one thing I'll say about Roman, this is a side thing. We were talking about his spear, and I don't want to forget this.
Yeah.
Because I was fourth row for him retiring Undertaker.
Ooh, yeah.
You want us to clap?
Yeah. I was looking for something. Yeah, thank you. No, but I was fourth row to watching him do that, like, super spear.
Yeah, right.
That looked so fucking good in person.
Really?
And then on the playback, it was like, you were like, oh, it's over?
Yeah.
In person, he was like, I don't know what to do. And then I watched him back and forth. He bounced off the ropes in front of me. Like, and he like, it was like such a wind up. I mean, keep in mind, the crowd was dead. Everyone was so tired. Show was way too long. So you didn't like feel it. But I thought it looked amazing. And Taker was like looking back and forth. Adam. Yeah. Like, he was getting so dizzy because he was so out of it. So anyway, I think that's when I really decided I like his spear. Anyway, so this match, yeah, once we came out, it was like, I mean, the heat that Roman, that Strowman got but for putting down Roman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it lasts, though, or is it just for being attached to Roman Reigns?
You think they're I think people are going to still... No, you know what? Yeah, probably a lot of it is the fact that he's, like, destroying
the
Roman Reigns.
The person who's fighting Roman... Like, whoever's going to... The person that's fighting Roman Reigns will be over.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, now we're getting into the Cena territory. We're getting into that territory where it's like... Where we're getting into this place where it's like, hey, people are starting giving Roman credit for that heat.
I do give him credit.
No, I'm not saying it's wrong. Yeah. But now we're getting into it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, hey, man, like, if you could beat up a guy and people are so happy, that seems like you got to give the guy credit who's getting beat up, right?
Yeah. No, I think Roman is over. I absolutely do. And I read, like, dirt sheets talk about how they're completely failing to get Roman over. They're not. He's exactly where they, well, maybe not exactly where they want him to be. I'm sure they'd love for him to be a face. But they're happy that people are responding to those matches. They can put him in the pay-per-view every single time, or the main event, rather, every single time. It works every single time. And they sell merch still. Like, the kids still buy those T-shirts. It's a win-win for the WWE, for people to hate him as much as they do.
Totally. The only thing I'll say is that he really does suck. Like and I'm sure I'll eat these words. I think I complimented his spear. I like his matches.
Yeah.
I do like his matches. I don't like... I'll be like, that was a good match. I don't love his matches where I need to be headlining every fucking WrestleMania that I spent all this money to fly to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I keep flying to Manias and he keeps... this year I was like, oh, it's good. He's kind of like in the mid-card. No, he was the main event. Yeah. I remember seeing the package flash that like, oh, it's Lesnar Goldberg now? Oh, shit. You know what I mean? But... At the same time, like, he's so bad on the mic in a way where, like, John Cena is so great on the microphone, although someone was saying that they think he sucks on the mic. I think that's insanity to say that John Cena is bad on the microphone.
The only thing I'll say to knock John Cena on the mic is that he's sort of so winky.
Yes, I agree.
To the crowd of, look at what I'm doing in this wrestling situation.
But he's gotten better.
Yeah.
That used to be a major thing. Like, it's where Roman's at right now. Actually, Roman's gotten better, too.
What do you mean?
There was a phase where Roman Reigns, and especially John Cena, would constantly be like Bugs Bunny, basically.
Right.
Like, oh, boy, look at this guy trying to get me. Well, whoop, whoop, whoop. And then they do their finisher.
It's like
and they
ironic
defeat
detachment.
Yes, exactly. They're ironically detached in their promos. Like,
Yeah. And they just go like, I'm so good. You're so lucky to fight me.
Yeah.
Look at this guy coming at the big guy, whatever. All right.
Yeah, the heels would do like this crazy promo. They'd talk for 10 minutes and like really put themselves into it. And then John Cena would be like, are you done yet?
Right,
whatever.
Right. Yeah. It'd just be like, you know, this is wrestling. Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I've been accusing Ambrose of that for a while.
Yeah.
Though I think he's finding a good ground here. I'm firmly on the belief that Dean Ambrose is on an uptick.
Okay.
And you know I'm a big hater of Dean Ambrose. Gene Ambrose. Or Mean Gene Ambrose, what he called himself. But so the thing is this, is that, fine, Cena's had a similar trajectory. The company pushed him, made him Super Cena. We're getting Super Roman.
Right.
I will eat these words. Roman will never rise to the level of charisma that John Cena has. Never. He does not have that.
You might be right.
That's why when people boo him and they want him to beat up, part of me goes like, oh, no, we're getting to that place where now people like you, no offense, because I think I share this opinion. I'm indifferent on it.
Yeah.
You know, because I see other guys get beat up and that doesn't happen. But now we're going like, hey, he's responsible for this. But I'm like, no, it's also possible that people just hate this guy so much for the wrong reason.
They call it X-Pac heat.
X-Pac, oh my God. X-Pac is... Should we talk about X-Pac?
I mean, what happened? He got arrested?
He got arrested.
Well, I saw him recently at PWG.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he looked awesome. He's in, like, great shape right now. He's in, like,
the
best shape
ever.
I saw him
at that Ron Funches show.
Ah. Right. Oh, how was that?
It was good. Yeah. The format was a little chaotic.
Yeah. Wait, I don't know. Is it comedy or wrestling or both?
Both. It was at Cine Family, and yeah, it was good. It was just like the sound system was kind of shitty, so like you couldn't hear them talking over the just stuff like that. But it was still really fun.
Yeah, Ron Funches is great. I think I talked to him about wrestling. We were at Bonnaroo together. And,
I cannot and picture you at Bonnaroo.
I tried to get into it, but that'll derail us too much. When you talk to Ron about wrestling, it's just it's like what you think of me.
Right?
It's like I like that guy. You know, it's great. It's just like that guy's good. You know, it's just funny. He's just a natural. He's a brilliant dude. All right, cool. So yeah, I just think it's like Braun. It's just, and then it's hard to know how much is it is Braun doing it? Like,
well, he's been. I mean, before he started feuding with Roman, like people were loving him. I liked him a lot when he was, and when he kind of was when the whole like monster thing.
I don't know if I shared that sentiment.
No? When?
Well,
like in the lead up to everything.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe have not been watching it as much every week as you two, but I saw a lot of his jobber matches and was very bored by them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they're just, you know, anytime they try to promote a monster as a monster, I remember when they did that with Albert, with the, you know, when he was Tensai or whatever, it's always, they have to prove it for me to be on board with those.
Listen, he's already has had a better career than Albert.
Oh, for sure. when that whole segment where he, that Raw where he attacked Roman three times was the best thing.
Yeah, it was amazing. I actually think, so here's the thing we talk about Roman is Roman, we're in this question mark zone. These are a lot of new talents, and we're seeing where they lie in history. Is Alexa Bliss going to go down as like one of the best female wrestlers ever? Like, who knows?
Yeah.
Her microphones, she has ability to raise to a level on the microphone that, like, I'm excited to see where she goes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Braun Strowman is another guy. Like, he could either be a flash in the pan or he could be, like, what Big Show was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Where, like, Braun Strowman is just, like, on talk shows and, like, I don't know. I could really see him going somewhere.
Yeah.
Because Big Show is my point.
He's better on the mic than I thought he would be, Braun Strowman.
I think he's really good on the mic.
Yeah.
I think they're pulling off, I said it, like, he's straight up FIFA-FOFOM. Like, he's, pulling off, like, the dumb giant. And it's, like, he does, he pulls it off.
He absolutely
pulls it off. Grounded.
It doesn't sound like a wrestler being like, I'm a giant. It's him.
Yeah. It's weirdly grounded, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's believable in some weird way.
Yeah.
You can go back to the podcast archives, and I said this, that they needed to let him talk, because I heard him on the Stone Cold podcast, Adam Scher, the actor.
Yeah.
Talking lucidly, like a human being who can, like, formulate thoughts, and I think that, and I just knew, I was like, oh, give him a mic, because he's obviously a smart, you know, air quote, smart guy, and he can probably do well.
Wrestling smart.
Yeah. Because even the people who aren't so great on the mic, even when you see them in, like, candid interviews, they're still not good at talking to people.
Right. No, that's true. All right. For time's sake, moving on. Jeff Hardy lost a tooth. That's all I have to say about any of that. I'm waiting for him to be broken. They're breaking his tooth. They're teasing the break.
Yeah. they bought the rights, right?
Yeah. So they made a deal.
Over? Okay.
They made a deal. I think they're just being, at this point, like, they're waiting to do it the right way. And I respect that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Now, I will say Matt Hardy's been doing the delete sign a little to his angle. He's doing a little Hitler-y. He goes a little Nazi.
Dude, there's nothing scarier than seeing like a stadium full of people do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's frightening.
If Obama was the president or Hillary right now, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, no.
But right now, like, and especially in the hands of the pro wrestling universe, which is, look, it's got a track record.
It's tapping into something.
Their track record is putting over gender. Okay?
Yes.
let's watch that. Let's try to get that, let's get that perfectly perpendicular with your body.
Yeah.
Right?
And index finger out. It's a point, you know, like a lot. You're drawing a line.
Jericho won the U.S. title. That was very surprising. And it was exactly what I predicted last week. They're going to give it right back to him.
Yeah.
Or, to Kevin Owens, because why ruin the momentum of that whole, like, the face of America thing? It's really cool. I love it. Actually, Kevin Owens, did you see his jobber match? probably didn't see recently. Kevin Owens had a jobber match like 2 weeks ago where he just fought a guy. He says he calls himself the face of America. He says he's from Ontario?
Oh, I read about this.
Canada or whatever part of Canada he's from. And then the jobber announces that he's from Louisville, Kentucky, and gets over with the crowd. And then loses right away, jumps into a pop-up powerbomb.
Wait, no, I did see that. Because he jumped. He just like...
He jumped so far. That, I was like, oh, he's going to lose the U.S. title? Yeah. Even the graphic is amazing. The whole background is just, it's Kevin Owens' big fat head. Yeah. And then the background is the American flag and they have the U.S. title running. I'm glad he has that belt. Plus, we get Kevin Owens' AJ.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, that's a match I'm going to be like glued to the screen. I can't, you know, that's capabilities of being like match of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that's that pay-per-view, Seth versus Joe. Yeah, cool. All right. Let's jump into our first ever. We got a segment.
Whoa, what's
Alex segment? Newman's going to lead us in a segment. You take it away.
All right. So, you know, used to be back in the day with wrestling that you know, hitmen were hitmen, undertakers were undertakers.
Right.
IRS agents were IRS agents. The gimmicks were clear.
Right.
Right, but this new era, things are a little bit more subtle. So what we're going to try to do is going to name some wrestlers. You guys are going to try to guess what the official WWE gimmick is. We have an envelope here.
You have it?
We have an envelope here.
Wow.
You have it from WWE?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, from Vince. He sent it to me.
Vince sent that to you?
Sent it to me.
Wow.
Personally. Directly.
Wow.
That's that's the official WWE stamp on there.
Logo. It's wax seal.
And that's Vince's beautiful handwriting. I know Vince's handwriting. So you're saying we have the official gimmick of these wrestlers?
That's right.
And me and Jake have to guess what this gimmick is?
Right. Exactly.
Well, I understand the premise of this now.
Yeah. I mean, I locked it in.
All right, so, I guess we'll just jump right in.
Yeah, is interesting. I mean, this should be easy because wrestlers, their gimmicks should be fairly obvious, right?
I mean, come on, just based on the name alone.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, who goes first?
Let's go, we'll give the...
The guest.
The guest.
All right, Jake Reilly, you go first.
All right, okay. So,
what we call in the segment, Name That Gimmick?
What do you call it? Name That Gimmick.
Yeah, okay.
Great. That's as good a name as any.
Yeah.
Name
that
segment. This goes on for 5 more minutes.
Okay, great.
Okay, Carl Anderson.
Carl Anderson, I have to guess, is his intended gimmick or his original gimmick?
What is his gimmick? Right now.
Currently.
Carl Anderson. That's tough. That's the most generic name of all time.
Yes, that's right. Carl Anderson's gimmick would... his gimmick would have to be... He's a... I still don't understand if I'm supposed to actually guess or do a joke. I'm going to be honest.
either is fine.
Yeah, all right. Either's fine.
Okay, Carl Anderson. He is the long-lost son of the Anderson clan, of course. He had amnesia after taking a horrible spine buster from an uncle and roamed the country trying to find his true identity, and only with the help of a mentally challenged man, also named Gallows, was he able to realize he was Carl Anderson.
That's coming across for me. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. My gimmick, I'm going to say, is that Carl Anderson's gimmick is that he's a guy with a hot Asian wife.
Interesting.
I think if I had to summarize his gimmick, I went with the sincere answer. I'm like, what is his gimmick? Yeah. He's a guy who just always says the hot Asian wife.
They did that scientist bit. That's something.
Yeah. That's gone, though. That's gone.
That's not a thing.
We're talking about right now.
This
is new from Vince. I came in the mail today.
This is right from Vince?
Okay, to the UCB Sunset from Vince.
All right. So according to Vince.
Wait, open the envelope up. Okay.
Okay.
According to Vince McMahon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Carl Anderson.
Yeah.
He is a character based on everyone's cousin, whose only claim to not being racist is that he has a hot Asian wife.
Oh, you guessed it right.
Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
We don't have the sound effects to do it, but those are coming soon. Wow, I got it right.
You got it right.
That was great. All right, so it's 1-0 right now.
1-0. All right. So,
bad job, Jake.
Next up, Mojo Rawley.
Oh, am I first?
Yeah, we'll go to the whoever gets it right.
Mojo Rawley's gimmick. Mojo Rawley's gimmick is he's a guy who's a football player who's perpetually in a state of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, sure.
Ooh, man. I hope that's it.
Mojo Rowley found a bag of amphetamines that were struck by lightning, and it's given him the ability to professionally wrestle.
Ooh, interesting.
Ooh, Baxter, you want more like his origins.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's what I've done for both of these. Huh?
All right, here we go.
Wait, open up the official letter.
Okay. So they're separate letters.
Yeah, separate letters. He sent me a dossier.
With, okay.
Yeah. It's Vince.
Yeah. All right, so Mojo Rowley is an overstimulated kid with ADD, the kind that you might find at like a Chuck E. Cheese, who's really dangerous to be around in the ball pit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're both wrong.
Yeah.
We're both wrong.
I think we all know those kids.
Honestly, I'm surprised you got a point. I don't think either of us are going to get another point.
Yeah, this is a really hard game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not a game.
Right. This is true.
I mean, it is a game, but this is really serious business, official business. All right, Jake, you're back up going first. Let's see if you can get him again with a hot, hot origin story.
Right. Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews. Okay, great. Apollo Crews is, all right. So Apollo Crews is a wrestling spaceship.
Right.
That's
on.
It. That's all
okay,
I got.
Cool.
It's
got
a
it.
Wrestling spaceship.
Got it.
All right. Wrestling spaceship. That's great. I'm going to say he's a jacked black guy with a smile.
No. Jack Black? Wait, Jack Black?
Yeah. He's Jack Black with a smile. He's jacked black guy with a smile. That's right. What I'm going to say. Vince. That's what I think Vince. Keep in mind, this is from Vince.
This is Vince. From Vince. Right. That's true.
This is from Vince.
It's very on the nose, but let's see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's open up.
Here we go.
You're getting,
all right.
You're, yeah.
Okay. Apollo Crews is an action figure brought to life by a magic cupboard. And is grappling with his sentience.
Oh,
wow.
See, that one had origin
story. That was close to my last. Yeah, I should have kept going at it.
Oh, man. You said alien in that?
And he's a spaceship.
I said spaceship.
He's an action figure.
Right.
Brought to life by a magic cupboard. So
it's the same sort of energy, but I'm not going to give him a point for that.
That's close. If you said alien, I would give it to you because you said spaceship.
Right.
Still
1-0. All right.
We're going to put those in post.
We got two more. There's two more.
All right, great.
All right, so... The Ascension.
Mm.
Oh, boy. Okay. Who's first?
I think you are, right?
Oh, I'm first?
Yeah.
Oh, these are Legion of Doom's just stunt doubles.
Yeah, that's pretty similar to mine.
Yeah.
Mine is, in 1998, when Hawk climbed that Titantron, he fell off and then dreamed about the Ascension. So they all exist in the unconscious brain of Hawk.
Ooh, that suggests that we're all in this solipsistic fantasy.
Wait, I want to change. I want to just amend mine. Is that
okay.
Part, is
I'll
that
allow
a,
it, yeah.
And it's not affected by yours.
No, like no.
I want to say they're a Legion of Doom indie rock cover band.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The Legion of, I don't know. Legion of, I don't know.
Yeah, all well, right. You should know that. That's your gimmick.
All right, here we go. Wait, what's my gimmick?
Your gimmick
the Ascension?
Is rock music.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Your gimmick is Aleister Black.
Rock and roll, dude.
Yeah, Satan is my gimmick.
Yeah.
Here we go. The Ascension is an actual Hot Topic store that wish to be a human tag team.
Oh. I was almost going to say that.
Yeah.
All right.
Last chance to tie it.
Last chance to tie it.
Yeah, this is the last chance, or else I win, which means I get to keep.
Or you get to keep hosting the show.
I get to keep. This is for the show.
Right.
This was for the show.
Belt, yeah.
Yeah. This is a tremendous. This is one of the top shows.
Okay. Last one. Naomi.
Naomi.
Jake, you're first.
All right. Great. So, Naomi. Is okay, so a 13-year-old sneaks into the Electric Daisy Carnival, takes Molly for the first time, and thinks that he sees the perfect woman. She's really just a lamppost. And that lamppost is wrestling, and her name is Naomi.
All right. God, what is her gimmick? It's a fitness model from Florida who got Freaky Friday'd with a raver. Yeah, with a raver.
Okay.
That's it.
All
yeah,
right.
That's it.
All right, let's see.
Because the reason I'm saying that, just to give a little thing, is that it feels like there's no connection between her gimmick and her as a person.
Yeah.
That, like, there must be another person in there.
I mean, maybe she is that person. They just don't, we don't know that.
Yeah, she raves out?
I don't know.
Let's see. Let's see what Vince has to say. Last chance to tie, Jake Riegel. Yeah.
Vince, I actually think I know what the answer is.
Naomi is the chemical compound MDMA.
Oh.
She is Molly, and I think Jake just tied.
Wow.
All right. Oh. Well, I hereby no longer, I don't want to host the show.
Okay. All right, fine. We don't have a tiebreaker?
No tiebreaker. Vince only sent six. He assumed that it was going to be a, yeah.
Wow. That was a name that gimmick. Our first fun segment on the show. I think it was a smashing success. Speaking of smashing success, I don't know if that's going to be a good segue to see what we have next. It might have been something that was bad. Let's talk about Dean Ambrose's comedy on Raw, okay, and in general. So Ambrose, look, the reason I'm saying he's on an uptick is because I think he's better suited on Raw to begin with, because I don't think he's a great in-ring wrestler personally.
Yeah,
I don't think I've liked an Ambrose match because of him. And I think it's just he clearly connects with the crowd. Like, he's fine. They're laughing at it.
Yeah.
And when he's holding the belt, I don't know. It's just working for me. I mean, maybe I'm lowering my bar because it completely contradicts what I said last week, which was that I don't want any comedy. I want people to just come in and say I'm the best. But if he's gonna go full goof act, maybe that's where he's got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm worried that, like, he's going to do so well in those backstage segments that they're just going to be like, look, Dean, you're a backstage commentator now.
Yeah.
Take him out of the loop.
You're still not on the same show as your wife.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally. Well, it is a tough. All right. So let's go through some of Dean Ambrose's jokes.
Okay,
I got them here.
Oh,
and let's see if we liked them.
All right.
So first thing he said was that everyone was talking about Brock Lesnar. Everyone was talking about him. So he came in the ring and he said, Brock, 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 Brock. You all sound like a bunch of chickens. That was funny.
That was an earnest laugh.
That was legitimately funny. Yeah. Brock, 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 Brock. Yeah. You know, the one thing Dean Ambrose does is sometimes he tells like a joke, but he doesn't fully lean into it. Like, I wish he would make himself a little more vulnerable.
Yeah.
He stays in cool guy mode, but I would love if he, like, like when Jericho goes, like, you just made lit. Like, he's, like, full on being like, you don't like this. I look like an asshole.
Yeah. Right.
Cool. All right. So, okay. So the first joke was a ding.
Yeah,
right?
Ding. All the way.
All right. Next thing, backstage segment. He says, he went to The Miz. He did a segment with all of them. He said, does that hair gel get into your eyes when you wrestle?
Ooh, I don't know.
It wasn't that funny.
No.
Right? It wasn't that funny. Yeah, it wasn't that funny. But then he called himself Mean Dean Ambrose and said, back to you, Gene and Bobby.
Yeah, exactly.
That was funny. That was funny.
A little inside baseball, but it works for me.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of inside baseball, then he had a segment with Rollins, and he went into the locker room where Rollins was in the locker room. He goes, excuse me, Seth Rollins, quick word about the Mets.
He said the Mets, or did he say the match?
I thought he said the Mets.
I don't know.
I was like, that's weird because they're not in New York. That makes more sense about the match. I think that's even funnier that it's not the Mets. Quick word about the match. But then, all right, that's not even really the joke. The joke was he just says, he's like, what's going on here? Rollins is doing some bad acting.
Yeah.
He's like, what's happening here? They shot it like dirty, so it looked like he was just like, and he's like, what are these cameras? He's like, it's an interview, man. It'd be weird if there were cameras in this locker room and it wasn't an interview. That was funny. All right, cool.
Yeah. That's
funny. So he's doing well.
Yeah.
He's doing well with the room right here. And then he made a joke about how he was like, yo, I'm doing so good in these locker room segments. They think they're going to give me my own show. And then one of them was like, Dean Ambrose's daily dishing. It was a lot of D's.
Yeah.
That one was kind of a dud. But then he was like, or maybe I'll call it the Today Show. And then he said, I'll call it the Daily Show. I didn't like that joke that much either.
Yeah. Well, this was like a classic UCB-style straight man, odd man scene.
Yeah.
Where Rollins is just trying to, like,
Yeah.
Straight man. I'm like, no, that's already a show. Yeah. Maybe come up with something else.
Yeah.
Then they did a really weird thing where they were like talking in third person. Like he was like, I'm interviewing you, but I'm not Dean Ambrose, right? Is that what you speak? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then that was fine. That wasn't even meant to be funny. But then he did say, back to you, Gorilla. so he did have that running gag going. All right. Then he interrupted Finn Balor in the back. And we interrupted Finn Balor.
Finn was so busy having a program with someone, too.
Yeah. Finn was like, he was like, asking questions like, you nervous? And Finn was like, oh, I'm never nervous. Like, whatever. I can't do that accent. He says, I'm never nervous. This is Ireland.
Ted Kennedy.
How you doing there, me love? Yeah. I am Finn. I am Finn Balor.
Finn Balor era.
So... He did that. He gave a real generic answer, and then Dean Ambrose was like, all right, fine, then I have one more thing for you. And he pulled out a donut, and he goes, for the love of Christ, eat a carb. And then Finn, like, just ate the donut so fast. He ate it so fast. And then he was like, there's, like, a vein in there. Did you hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
What did that mean?
I guess he's so vascular that, like, he can see even, like, veins on his abdomen.
Yeah, so
like there's no fat on him at all.
That one didn't read as good in here, but I actually think that was read funny on TV.
Yeah,
just to see like Finn gave a really serious answer and then he ate a donut really fast. It was pretty funny. And then the Drifter walks by.
Yeah.
The Drifter walks by, and then Dean Ambrose is just like, "Hey, you know any Pearl Jam?" and then he goes, I like that guy. The Drifter plays it perfect. He just acknowledges like Ambrose doesn't even exist.
Yeah, he takes a perfect little beat and then just like, keeps on strumming.
All right, just from recapping this, we could see that like that was a good week for Ambrose.
Yeah.
And maybe that's his zone. You know, maybe he's an IC level guy who stays with the comedy. Because he's not really able to deliver in the ring. Like, you know, how could you have a main event a WrestleMania? You know, he's wearing a tank top. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just, but if as a comedy act, I don't know. He might be there.
Yeah, I would love for them to, like I said this to you the other day, like, have him be funny. But then in the ring, they should ramp up how violent he is. So that juxtaposition is interesting where it's like when he's funny, everyone's laughing. But then when he's serious, he's like deadly serious.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Totally.
Isn't that what like heel Doink was originally?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who I loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody loves heel Doink. It's one of the top wrestling moments. I saw like a picture the other day of like Doink in a sharpshooter from like Bret Hart or something like that. He was like, Jesus, these guys wrestled. You know, like.
Wasn't Bret in the Was Bret in the match with Dink and all the other little people Doinks?
I don't know. But can you imagine Bret Hart? Like Bret Hart's more like he fits more in like the current era of wrestling where guys like take themselves so seriously. But in that early 90s time where it's like
he had to deal with all of that.
Yeah. He had to wrestle like every goon, like every goof. okay, cool. So moving on. So let's get into the Maharaja himself.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Jinder Mahal, Hardcore Mahal.
Yeah.
That's not his nickname. Yeah, so look, Jinder stole the belt. Now we're getting this Jinder-Randy program. Randy's nowhere in sight. By the way, Lesnar and Randy, not in sight. No belts, which they just made an Intercontinental. They gave Miz. We didn't even talk about Miz. I thought he could have, you know, he cut a good program. He cut a good promo. He always cuts a good promo.
Right.
Sure.
It was good. Seth Rollins is starting to, he's still in the dud zone. He's still in the zone of like, what are you? Stone Cold buried him on his podcast, and it's not leaving my head. I keep going, like, what is this character? Give me more because of Stone Cold.
Right.
But, Hardcore Mahal, Jinder Mahal opened up SmackDown on a photo shoot with the belt, and then Shane came and commandeered the belt back from him. I thought that was great that we didn't go too far with the belt, stealing the belt thing. He just wanted to do a photo shoot.
That's it, yeah.
It reminds me of when JBL went from mid-carder to main eventer, literally overnight. It was just like, all right, he's in the main event picture now, and he won the belt, and... I like for a couple weeks, I'm like, what is this? This makes no sense.
Yeah.
But he won me over, and like he became a truly hated heel because of how deliberately like monotonous and evil he was, which isn't exactly what Ginger's doing. Yeah. But, like, yeah, I think Ginger's done the same thing of just like, all right, I know he was a jobber a month ago, but he's doing what he's doing great, and
a
I'm
month ago,
into it.
He, yeah. The week of the Superstar showdown, he lost Raw and SmackDown. Yeah. And then he became the number one contender the next week. And he gave Finn a concussion, the most
heel he did.
No, I agree. Yeah. It's definitely, look, we talk about this podcast a lot, the concept of, look, bringing up Stone Cold, I always bring up him. Yeah, but he brought up, he always talks about grabbing the brass ring and stuff. And then you're like, well, can you grab the brass ring in today's wrestling world, in the PG era where everything's so scripted and stiff, and you have so many guys who are like holding the belt and they're not there, and it's just harder to get those opportunities. But like, look, Jinder has the opportunity right now to grab it. I'm on the fence with it. Like, look, I'm very into it. I think a guy who looks like that with two little Bollywood boys, like, it's perfect. I'm a sucker for a guy with two smaller guys.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, they'll come around, just blow me, whatever. It'd be
what,
great.
Are the Singh boys now or whatever?
Yeah, the Bollywood boys.
Yeah, right. They're probably my height, but they seem like the smallest people in the world.
They're also really good wrestlers.
Yeah.
I think I think they're both pretty good.
Yeah, they're in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, those are those guys. Yeah.
They're the two Indian guys. Yeah. They put them together, right? They just call them the Singh brothers.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're gonna ignore all the racism. We don't have time for it.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. We don't have time for it. We got into the Jewish stuff, which is my prerogative.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Might as well.
I don't have time for other people's plight today. Okay. But the thing with Jinder is I can't tell, like, because he was really bad on Talking Smack 1 week, really bad, and then he was really good, pretty good on SmackDown. You know, he felt a little stiff in his like photo shoot segment. Everything he was saying was clearly a line, and like he's putting on that angry face in a very unnatural way. It's like it's drawn on him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I think he could get comfortable. I'm really on the fence with him. I think I like his wrestling. I think he's like just big, so he gets away with it. You know, it's exciting. Will he beat Randy is the question.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But do they need to protect Randy, though?
No, because he can cheat.
No, but I think that it's Randy. I don't think Randy wants to lose to anybody. I think he's like, they would go to him like, hey, Ginger's gonna go over. No, I don't think so. I think he's that kind of guy.
Is Randy Orton important?
No, he's not, but he thinks he's important, you know?
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget SummerSlam. He did. It was his idea to bleed out in the middle of the pay-per-view. It just ended on a real weird note, like in a weird MMA fight.
Yeah.
Look, I love Randy Orton, especially because, you know, he's super hot. And I think that, I'm just a sucker for. By the way, hashtag Hounds of Merch. WWE finally figured out that they should make money on their retro shirts and re-release them.
Yeah.
They put out the RKO shirt today. The NWO RKO shirt, they put it out. It's back on WB Shop. I've been looking for this shirt forever. I've reached out to actual merchants to be like, and it's not findable.
Yeah.
And the WB was like, yeah, we'll just reprint them. That's fucking fine.
Yeah.
It's still an official WB shirt.
Yeah.
I love it. So anyway, you could pick that up. On WWE Shop. They need my endorsement.
Yeah, proceeds go to WWE.
Yeah, right. I think the main thing we can say is that Jinder looks dope. He's clearly tapping into this good, authentic heel heat.
Mm-hmm.
It feels cool. It feels like JBL. It feels like, hey, SmackDown's the land of opportunity. Yeah. Let's do it. So let's just see. It's too early to tell.
Also, do you remember, what was it, 2003? When John Cena was the guy right after Brock won the title, and that's where he got like the FU because Brock had the F5, the FU. Like, that was them testing the waters with John Cena. He was not ready yet, but it like was a good program, and it clearly like gave him a real future. So like, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, I mean, Jinder, it's either like now or never for him. Like, you have all the stars are as aligned as they're gonna be.
Yeah.
So it's up to him.
Yeah,
I really think it's up to him, like to tap into that that Stone Cold thing. Like, if I'm him, I'm going out to Full Sail for the weekend, and I'm learning how to do like a shooting star press.
Yeah.
I know it sounds insane, but like I probably, if I was to wrestle, I'd have to have that Shane mentality of like, I got to turn heads this way.
Yeah,
because that's the only way I'm able to do it.
Yeah, and I think as long as he can keep his nose clean backstage, so that the wellness policy still doesn't apply to him.
Yeah.
Oh, Jinder? Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's totally gynoed. Like, he's so.
I mean, he's so juiced up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's clearly pushing the. He's taking something. He's doing. He's probably playing like close to the line there. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of supplements you could take that don't trigger it that are technically like this. Probably he's got a doctor's note. Like, he's walking the tightrope.
Yeah,
right. There's no question. I love when he's just like, I'm out dining people. It's like, come on, man, we're not I'm not fucking retarded. Yeah, fucking man. Like, all right,
South Beach diet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's on the South Beach diet. Oh man. All right. I want to go back to Bray for a second quick, even though I know we covered him. But I want to talk about Bray's segment on Raw. I forgot to mention this
because
I wrote it separate from my notes. Okay. So I think there's a lot of complaints about where Bray's at. Mm-hmm. We all feel frustrated for Bray.
Yeah.
Because everybody likes him. But I actually think Bray's in a really good zone. A better zone for the long term than he would have been if he held the belt on SmackDown. Because I think Raw is a better place for Raw. I might be contradicting myself, but just over it, I'm like, I think Raw is a really cool place for him. And I think it's because on Raw, the GM matters a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Meaning, Bray is a story-oriented character. Like, I think the only way he works is if, like, he's somehow is on the microphone pushing an angle and a story, right?
Yeah.
So, for me, to see him, that segment with Angle, where he's like, allow me to introduce myself to the GM, and it's like, oh, this is my show, and now he has heat with the bosses,
mm-hmm.
That's where Bray needs to be. Like, I've always said he should be like a Joker character, or like a cancer on WWE, where it's like, they can't keep him in line.
Yeah.
That's why I like that, like, how his matches happen outside the ring. Now, if he had the belt, it'd be even cooler, because mm-hmm. then it's more like, come fight me. If you're not the champion, then why? You'd be like, all right, fuck you, I don't want to fight you over there. But if he has the belt, you'll come into his lair.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why I think he needs to beat. I think Lesnar should be beat by Bray.
Okay.
I think it doesn't need to be clean.
I don't think that would happen.
He could project whatever. He could cheat. He can have like his minions or whatever. It doesn't have to be clean. He's a good guy to get the belt off of him, because you could do it in like a real schmozzy way.
Right.
But if you have Bray as the champion and he's like doing all kinds of kooky shit with it and being like, come to me if you want it, and being like, Seth Rollins, come here. You know, I think you can have something that's really unique and really could get turn some heads on Raw.
Well, they set up a feud with him in Balor, no? Didn't they?
Yeah, they kind of did, right? Did. Yeah, I mean, that's fine in the meantime. I mean, can you imagine Finn Lesnar? What would that look like?
We talked about this last time I was on the podcast.
Really?
Yes. You didn't buy it.
I think it would be great. What's the
complaint?
I would
love to watch it.
Yeah.
But he's so much. He's my size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same
but I
muscle
mean,
tone.
Yeah. Yeah. Eat a carb, huh?
Yeah. Don't disagree. Do not disagree. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Anyway, so I know I'm going back to Bray, but how did that strike you guys about Bray?
Oh, the promo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's. I mean, we've said this before. He like doesn't make a lot of sense when he talks, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But I loved. Yeah, I just there's nothing he's gonna do at this point. I think for me, where I'm gonna be like, fuck Bray Wyatt.
Well, he said to Kurt Angle, it's like, just allow me to do my work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, are you gonna let me do my work? And it's like, oh, okay. So he's like, oh, I'm building towards something, and then Angle's gonna intervene. The question is, will they half-ass that? What is his work?
Well, yeah. I was about to ask. What is Bray Wyatt's goal? Like, I've never understood that.
No,
like,
right.
It's not the belt. It's to murder someone.
Right. But what if his idea is to just interrupt?
Right.
Like, what if it's chaos? It's like the Joker.
Yeah.
It's chaos. And, like, that's what I've always wanted from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's always unclear. It's like every time he cuts a promo against somebody, it's like, you're like, what are you angry at with him?
Right.
But if he's just like, I see you succeeding and I don't like it. The people like you and like, I want you down. I want to drop you down a peg.
Yeah.
I'm going to be that guy. I stand between you and your goals. Why? I don't know why. Like, who cares?
Right.
But like, instead of just being like dancing around something,
just
say there's no reason for what I'm doing.
Yeah, I would like a little bit more of the supernatural with him, I think. Of like, I want him to like possess people's minds and like
right. 90s takers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just don't know why they don't just go all in on Bray.
That's like, a perpetual question.
If you go half in on Bray, It's very bad results.
Yeah.
Very bad.
But I also think he doesn't need the belt because, again, that's not his goal, and I don't think it really puts him over necessarily. He just needs to win more matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, he needs to fuck up other matches.
Yes.
He needs to just like show up, try to, and even he doesn't need a belt if he's trying to recruit people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just have like the lights go out during a match. They come up. Somebody's in the corner with like a fucking crow stuffed in their mouth.
Yeah. And what if it's like, join me, and there's like a lot of benefits to joining me, and it's like, you join me and then you get the belt. Like, what if it's like signing a deal with the devil, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, you don't want to join me? Fine, I'm just going to mess up your matches. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's something like that. You know? I wouldn't even care if, like, he decided he wanted money this week. Like, who cares? Like, it, you know what I mean?
But give me $25.
Yeah, if he's just like, I want to buy a Porsche. And you're going to get it for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't know.
Co-signed for this Porsche.
It would make more sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, cool. All right. Let's see. Anything else here? We got Kevin Owens, AJ. Cool. It is just does feel weird that those guys are going for the lower belt, on both shows, because the champs are like not around. The lower belt's just becoming the championship belt.
They did that the first time that Lesnar was champ. I actually thought it worked okay.
But on both shows?
Yeah, both shows is a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And So no Shinsuke. Ziggler is just doing all the work in that feud, which is the thing that never works. It never works when one guy is selling the fight.
Well, where's the pay-per-view? Because, like, if it's a city that Shinsuke's already
it's
over.
It's in Tokyo, though. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's there now.
Right.
Where's Backlash?
Yeah, if it's, like, in Nashville, then, yeah, that match isn't going to go well. But if it's a smart city, then I think it's okay for Ziggler to do the brunt of the heavy lifting.
I don't think that, I think the match is going to get over. The match is going to be great.
Yeah.
I just think that selling the feud, like, Shinsuke's not said anything.
Right.
They haven't figured out, like, I guess they had Shane talk for him. I don't know. It's exactly my worry about Shinsuke to begin with. Now it's like, it's all frosting. It's all like, well, check out this guy.
Yeah.
You're going to like this guy. His entrance is cool.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, now what?
Right.
It's what I said.
Would you give him a manager?
That's what I don't know.
Paul Heyman guy?
I mean, I don't think you give him Paul Heyman. I think it's just like he needs to be his own separate thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could do the Del Rio translator route.
That was a little gimmicky to me.
No.
Yeah.
Especially because Del Rio speaks perfect English.
What do you do? What do you do at Shinsuke? I mean, he can speak English pretty decently from what I know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not enough to cut a promo.
No.
That will, like... But, yeah.
Like, just make him a fucking, just like a terror. Just like have him just be this guy who's like kicking people's heads off. Like, simple.
Yeah.
Right?
I think you pull, like, you might be able to pull like the Adam Rose thing that didn't work. Like the thing where he like has like a crew he hangs out with. And then like one of the girls just talks for him. Like random girl. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that'd be cool because he has that like Michael Jackson like vibe. Like he's got like, I don't know, like a posse.
Yeah.
I actually think it would work so much better for him if it was like even like a rabbit and this and that. Like, I mean, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I would have it be like socialites.
Right.
I would have him just like he's like barely cares about wrestling.
Who, Nakamura?
Yeah. That's what I'd have it. But then when he comes in, he's like a badass.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this being the WWE, they'll probably just pair him with Kenta when he's ready to be called up. What's his MC name?
Oh, Hideo?
Hideo.
Hideo Tommy. Yeah. I really hope they don't do that.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, Hideo, I mean, he's a sad story.
Mm.
I mean, oh, all right. Anyway, I don't know. I know I never, I love, I mean, I like Shinsuke. Love is too strong. That would be a lie. I like Shinsuke a lot. People love him. I agree. I'm never seeing the same thing as everybody else with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm never like even now I'm saying stuff and I feel you guys being like, that's awful. Like,
well, no, I'm not the biggest Nakamura mark in the world. I think
he's an amazing wrestler.
Yeah.
But WWE's not just wrestling. It's,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just little moments though where like, cause I went from like, kind of like where you are, Dan, of like, I don't get this guy to kind of like a, like 50% of the way there. When he was doing that program with Balor, like, and just the way that he was like, he would like, he does that thing where he like is like struggling to like say something, and then he like blurts it out. For some reason, that like put him over with me. Like, he has a charisma that if you like look at it the right way,
right.
it's obviously there.
He definitely,
no,
yeah.
Totally. I mean, he's definitely got something to, like, there's no question about that. The question is, how do you have him on a weekly episodic show that
there's
is
not a lot of flexibility
driven
to his right character? Right.
So what I think is, you have a couple options just from thinking this out. One option is, like, you give him a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I think you could do it where it's, like, his crew.
Yeah.
Like, and they don't need to all be Japanese.
Right.
Okay, I just want to lay that out there. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't have to hang out with Japanese. As a matter of fact, I'd love it if he hangs out with, like, artists. Yeah. Right? Like, musicians. Like, stuff like that.
Like a bohemian kind of, like.
Yeah.
Totally. And I would love if he came to the ring just to, like, do his entrance and just, like, party. I don't know. Maybe he comes, he sits down and watches somebody paint. Like, I don't know. He does something where he's, like, not interested in the feud, because, like, I don't... Even if he was, like, I don't know what you're saying. You know? Yeah. Like, something like that. Like, I think, ultimately, what I keep coming back to is he has to be above it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's what makes Nakamura cool. I heard a thing where that, like, he doesn't, when he first met Vince, he didn't give him, like, a lot of, he didn't go, like, oh, Vince, like, so nice to meet you. Like, he was like, hey, like, yeah. I heard that. Like, he's like, he's not, he doesn't see Vince at all like we do.
Yeah.
That's cool. Like, you're a foreigner who's a superstar somewhere else, and you're, like, come here, you got, like, a Warhol vibe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's negging, anyway. He's negging Vince McMahon.
He's in his late 30s, like, everyone they're hiring these days. So, like, they don't care anymore. They're like, yeah, I'll do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, ultimate fantasy for me would be having him, and it won't happen because they're on different shows, but, like, if he was with the club or something and, like, tapping back into, like, that, like, Japanese, like, thing.
I mean... Everyone thinks about that all the time, I feel like. When are they going to pull the trigger? I mean, Balor still says Balor Club every time he comes out. It's like, they got to do that eventually.
He said this week, like, I just kicked your ass, club. That's great. That's
fun
perfect.
Baller.
Perfect. Fan baller. Fun baller. Anyway, but I think actually, now I'm thinking about it, the Ziggler's doing more of what I think Shinsuke should do.
Yeah.
He's doing, like, who are you? Like, what? You know? And I think it should be, like, Ziggler should be like, you bother me. It's too many promos of you. And he should be irked by him. But instead, it's the opposite, where it's like, what's this guy tapping on my shoulder? But then he's not doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not actually caring about Ziggler. Yeah, it's tough. Anyway, last thing we got to cover is, not the welcoming committee. Let's let that go.
Yeah.
Sorry. Naomi, why don't they make the belt glow?
Oh, my God, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That won't even affect it. Like, you could put the clear, that, like, glow in the dark shit on it. Just make the W glow.
Hmm.
Or just make it say N.
Yeah.
Right? Like, or, like, that's, like, the most obvious thing. The belt is, if you look, you just see, like, a black outline of where the belt is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking make the belt glow.
Yeah. To kind of touch on the welcoming committee thing, that whole match, are we getting a face Charlotte?
I think so. That, you know, I was trying to jump over it for time, but I think they are, like, clearly turning Charlotte face. I think it's smart.
Yeah.
Because she came on SmackDown and was doing, like, I'm the queen. It felt, like, stale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, her acting super cocky in that division is going to get tired. It's like, she's way better.
Yeah.
What is a face Charlotte, though? Like, what's her thing?
It's just Charlotte who doesn't make fun of the audience.
Yeah. Styling.
All right.
Profiling.
Yeah, I guess it's same as a face Rick, I guess. Then. Yeah,
I think it's like she just starts banging dudes. Like,
the tower of power.
What is it? Too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey. Oh,
I think that'd be like a very cool gimmick, by the way. Just like a very sex positive wrestler, like female wrestler. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Are some of these girls on NXT, Alex Newman, NXT expert, are any of these girls on NXT ready to go? Like, isn't that Sanity girl pretty good? Like,
Nikki Cross?
Are those, like, two Australian girls ready to go? I forgot about Emma. She's a straight jabroni.
Right.
ready
to go? With Asuka, you run into
Ruby,
the same...
I mean, Asuka's clearly ready to go.
You run into the same issues as Nakamura, though.
Yeah, you can't bring her and Nakamura up at the same time, I don't think.
Right.
I think that was their thought process, unless she goes to Raw.
Yeah. But ability-wise, yes. Like, Ember Moon is
pretty
incredible, but not awesome on the mic.
Yeah.
Ruby Riott, I don't know if she's ready for the main roster. She's, like, a cool...
Right.
thing on NXT, but, like, no, not in general, no.
Yeah. I mean, what about, like, that Liv girl or whatever? There's, like, Lana's
she's
coming
got Liv Morgan has gotten a lot better.
Right, yeah. She's been there a long time already. Yeah. Like,
but
you
she's
know?
Also the same exact gimmick as Carmella.
Yeah.
It's literally the same thing.
Carmella's gimmick is... hate it.
I was about to completely change the topic because you mentioned Lana. Do you think Rusev's the main eventer when he comes back?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to face Rusev. We'll never get it, but yeah. He's so charming and funny that I want that.
I think he's going to be faced when he comes back, but not like he's going to still like get heel heat. But I think like I think what they're doing Rusev's really cool. The thing that's just like I deserve a child. I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool. I don't know. He feels like. I don't know. Oh, we didn't even cover Sheamus Cesaro. Who cares?
Sheamus. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's very stupid. It's annoying when you watch Sheamus hurt somebody because you're like, come on, Sheamus.
Yeah.
Like, don't hurt like Jeff Hardy, you know? Yeah. All right. Last thing to cover. Breezango. Fashion Files. Fashion Files.
Yeah.
That was really funny. I liked that a lot. They did like an SVU parody of, and they were going through all their files, and they're all fashion files. And the funny thing, like Tyler Breeze is complaining about his paperwork. He had to do so much paperwork for the Ascension.
Yeah.
Because they're so out of style.
They've been working on that angle for a while, like doing like online and like on like Instagram and like Snapchat, like working that like fashion police thing kind of behind the scenes off camera.
Can they beat the Usos? Like, I think Usos are like too good right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want them to, but I think that if they, I don't know how much like credence that WWE is going to put into like their like internet fame.
Right. I mean, I think they found a good place for them. Like when Tyler Breeze was in NXT, he was a main eventer, and I'm like, oh, that's definitely not going to continue on the main company. Right. Yeah. But like, they finally found like the right place for him, I think, which is occasional tag champ, fun. Yeah.
I mean, I think Tyler Breeze, like, I think that with the right writing, you could probably get him back over.
Yeah.
I think if you push him as like the, if you get him off of just like a weird like Rick Martel gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you get him more on like a Bieber, like a more of a millennial gimmick.
As he gets older and older.
Yeah. I know. That's funny, though, because he'd always be a heel, clearly. Yeah. But if you had him, literally, I think you could do something better with him. He could be kind of... But the thing is, he's very small.
Yeah.
He's a lot smaller than I realized when he came up to the main roster. So, anyway, cool. I think we hit it all. I think our first segment was a smash success. I had a lot of fun. Did you have fun, Jake?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me back.
Any quick MMA updates? Anything we need to be checking out in the MMA world?
Well, I'm excited about UFC 214, which is going to be in Anaheim.
Great name, 214?
Oh, yeah. They really thought it through.
214.
There's also going to be a Bellator card in Madison Square Garden during DCM. So if my show's not then, I might try to check that out.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
I used to live right next to MSG, and it was a bummer we couldn't ever go to an MMA event there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's finally legal.
Yeah. Who's the headliner on that?
The headliner, well, the co-main is Fedor, who's fighting.
Fedor's fighting in UFC?
No, that's in Bellator.
Bellator's the
one in MSG, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Fedor against Matt Mitrione, and then it's, I know, Chael Sonnen versus Wanderlei Silva.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like what would have been cool in the UFC 7 years ago, basically.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I know that only because I recognize those names and I don't pay attention to UFC.
Right.
So.
Chael Sonnen, the fact that he is not in WWE is wild to me. Like
he went through the WCW power plant. He is a trained professional wrestler.
He was a pretty good UFC fighter. Like he was pretty good. I remember watching him. First fight I ever saw him, he was stomping feet. It was amazing.
No, he's an absolute cheater.
Yeah. Like he's like a really like he's gonna get every. And then that first fight with Silva was incredible.
Yeah, of course.
Because he beat him.
He did until the very last minute.
Yeah, that was amazing. I love Chael Sonnen, but Chael Sonnen cuts an incredible promo.
Mm-hmm.
He has he
worked with Roddy Piper before he passed away. Like they wrote promos together.
Because he thinks wrestling's so stupid, right?
I don't know if he does. I'm sure.
Why is he not?
He'll
in WWE?
Follow the money.
Wouldn't he be? Do you not agree? He would be like at least even if he was a
he's
mouthpiece.
Like 40. Yeah, he'd have to be a mouthpiece. I think
he'd be an amazing announcer. At WWE. Like he's a clear asset to WWE, except for the fact that like he's a clear criminal.
Yes. No, he was an announcer for MMA until he got you know, various legal troubles for tax evasion and things
like
that.
Tax evasion. I remember he was doing some Oregon, like, real estate fraud. He was, like, running for office. He's a clear sociopath.
He's Lenny Dykstra shit.
Yeah. He's clearly, like, a guy that WWE is probably like, this guy's not exact. But.
Now I'm bringing up another thing. Yeah. There is an MMA guy who used to be in the UFC named Matt Riddle. Mm-hmm. Who got fired from the...
Yeah, Matt Riddle's great.
Yeah.
I watch him at PWG all the time.
There you go. Yeah, he got fired from the UFC for testing positive for weed like 16 times.
Yeah.
And now he's like a great up-and-coming pro wrestler.
Here's the thing about Matt Riddle. Great wrestler. Yeah. He also did a thing WrestleMania weekend where he was trying to book the most indie shows he could.
Yeah.
And he wrestled like 8 times WrestleMania weekend.
Jesus.
He wrestles with no shoes.
Huh.
He wrestles... It's such a mistake.
Yeah.
Oof.
He's clearly going to get a big injury.
Yeah.
I think his gimmick of saying bro is bad.
Yeah.
I think that's dated.
You know it, bro.
Yeah, the term bro is just, it's dead. But he's got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Him and Jeff Cobb, they're a tag team called, like, the Chosen Bros,
right.
I think. And they put out, they're fucking great.
Yeah.
They had the match of the night last PWG I went to, and this had, like, Ricochet, the Bucks, like, it was, so I'm excited to see what happened with Matt Riddle. I was just inquiring about him. And then I watched that Demetrius Johnson fight. That was great. That was a great recommendation.
Yeah.
I dip in and out of UFC. They don't have the stars that I'm looking for. I'm looking for GSPs.
GSP's back.
Not GSP now. I don't want him now.
You're lost. Looking for the next GSP.
He lost and they said he won like 4 times.
Yeah.
Not 4 times. 1 time. But
Hendricks.
Yeah, and Johnny Hendricks. He clearly lost that fight.
Yeah, I agree.
And then he put on like the most boring fights.
Yeah, he did that for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, you know, there's one guy who gets me back into UFC. The last UFC card I watched had, you know who it was. Right now he's the current holder of a red belt. The universal title.
Rock
Lesnar! You guys want to plug anything?
If you're in LA, come to Cardinal Redbird Tuesday nights at UCB Franklin, 11 p.m. I know that's very late.
That's one of the top shows. The top guys. The revivals in that show.
That's right.
Top guys.
Yeah, also at UCB, May 13th, I have a show. My band, Dead Flag, it's like a character showcase where we're going to be auditioning singers for our band.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And so each character coming out is... gonna be auditioning.
That.
Yeah,
that's a really cool format.
Yeah,
I think that's awesome. Yeah, so you're gonna have actual instruments on stage.
Uh huh. Yeah, full
They're
band.
Sing?
Full band. Yeah, yeah. So they do their bit.
Yeah.
Sing with the band. Hmm. It's Saturday, May 13th, 10:30, UCB Sunset.
That's cool. I also love Cardinal Redbird, but the format's not as good. No. Cardinal Redbird's great. One of the top.
Your show's
people.
At 7 the same night. You're gone by the time we're on stage.
I'm so gone.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping, actually. As a matter of fact, I'm sleeping.
Fair enough.
Everybody, keep watching wrestling. Remember, the hotline. Zig's going to shoot me in the face if I don't plug the hotline. Remember, call in your opinions. You can interrupt the cow cash-in. Your opinion takes over my opinion on the show. 316-530-2429. 316-530-2429. And, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. We'll be right back.